I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. I woke up this morning, got myself a gun. Mama
always said I'd be the chosen one. The Quran speaks of equality among humans. It says that they were all created equally from a single mother and father. The Quran, even though there are differences, natural differences between men and women, sees them as completing one another and direct in the eyes of the Creator and equal in the eyes of the Creator. The Quran defends the sanctity of the family and sees children as gifts entrusted to us by God.
You might have thought you were listening to a pastor preaching from the Bible and maybe halting language. That was the Iranian president in front of the UN yesterday, talking about the value of the Quran. As we discussed in the previous hour, he spent more time than he was allotted, supposedly only going to be 15 minutes. It took about 35 minutes and a good 15-plus minutes of talking about the value of the Quran and what it stands for. Did you hear him mention in there the fact that there might be differences between men and women, but at the same time acknowledging we're children of God, entrusted to parents by God? See, there's not a lot of difference between many of the religions when it comes to things like basic understanding of one, gender, and two, why we're here. Now, I know some Muslims, and they're not, they don't find the viciousness that others have found in the Quran, and they use as a reason to kill all the infidels. I also know some Christians, and they don't follow parts of the Bible that basically backed up the Crusades. But the interesting thing here I want to focus on, we're living in a world now that we're supposed to accept that there are numerous genders. That's contrary to the Bible. It's contrary to the Quran. It's contrary to various religions. It's contrary to science. All right, we'll break it down for you. Thanks for joining us. Here we are, September 21, 2023. Second hour of Larry Connors USA. We're on Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. And if you missed the first hour, remember you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and either watch video from our streams and or get the audio and share it with others. Please do share so. You can also subscribe for free. Go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. Up at the top, you'll find a subscribe button. Push subscribe, you're getting it sent direct to you. No cost, obviously, and we do not share your information. And when we're on the air live, we're also putting up a stream for you. We're running on News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, streaming from the studio. We also have a stream on Larry Connors USA, Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. Choose a platform that works for you, and I appreciate you not only watching, listening, but then again, as I said, sharing with others. So here was the Iranian leader. Iran is a terrorist state. Make no mistake about it. I'm not trying to make you think that I think that they are all good people at this point when it comes to the Iranian leadership and what their plans are for the nation. It's not. Their plans are to destroy us. They are among the ones who believe that they're going to kill all the infidels. That would include all the U.S. But at the same time, when President Karzai is speaking to the U.N. and he's talking about the values inside the Quran, and when it came down to man and women, there are no other genders, man and woman. Do you get that? Do you also understand then that they, when they preach in the Quran, and certainly under Sharia law, that if you are engaged in homosexuality, you will be stoned to death. There's no tolerance. I have had that discussion numerous times with you and members of my church and others that I know that are questioning, why are you not condemning it constantly? You know what the Bible says. I know what the Bible says. My point has always been, I'm a sinner, and I have enough trouble justifying myself to God, so I'm letting God pass judgment if he thinks you have disobeyed him by either the written word or whatever. And I have numerous gay friends. It's their life, not mine, but they're of age, they're adults, and they're good people, the ones I know. I also know some people who are not homosexual, and some of them are really bad people. So it had nothing to do with their sexual preference. It's just the makeup of what they are or what they're trying to present and the way they live their lives. So being homosexual does not necessarily mean you're good, bad, reverence as far as laws of the land. But if you're under Sharia law within the Muslim countries, they find out you're homosexual, they take you to the highest building they have, and they would drop you. And if you survive, they're going to be stoning you on the ground. That's if they don't just cut off your head. And many times they prefer not to make it quick and easy. They prefer to do it slowly, make you suffer. But in this nation, we're getting to the point where, I'll give you a perfect example. Congressman Eric Sorensen, Democrat, Illinois. He's supporting a book about raising non-binary children, which argues allowing your child to be themselves, whatever they may that might look like, is not leading them away from the God who created them. He tweeted his support for a book titled Raising Kids Beyond the Binary, Celebrating God's Transgender and Gender Diverse Children. She is the mother of a transgender teen. Now, I do know some parents that have transgender teens, and they started making the change at an earlier age, and now they're full-blown transgender. But there are also new studies out that the longer they are in that transgender body, the more mental illness they have. If they are truly that confused about their bodies, they need help. That would be the first thing I would say. But right now, we're just kind of taking the attitude that, well, if they want to change today, they want to be a boy and they were born a girl, so be it. If they want to be a lollipop, if they want to be a cat, if they want to be a dog. I told you yesterday about how in Germany, in Berlin, a bunch of them gathered in the streets and they were proclaiming they are dogs. And they were acting like it, running around and yelping and howling. They consider themselves to be a dog. They want to be referred to as a dog. I know of a school in the St. Louis area where there's a girl that claims she is a cat, and they have to put a litter box in a bathroom for her. And she's given the only bathroom that has a door on it. Now, who goes in and cleans the litter box? I don't know. But if people would stand up and say, no, we're not going to do that, you're bowing down to 0.0000% of the populace that is trying to change the world, and you don't have to change every time. Doesn't mean you assault them, doesn't mean you demean them, but you just refuse to let them rule over you. If you missed my interview in the first hour with Will Witt, who wrote a book, Do Not Comply, you got to go back and hear that. And again, share that also with your family, friends, and others. So Eric Sorensen, Democrat of Illinois, represents a purple district in northwest Illinois. And he says the book is excellent work. Let's keep moving forward. No question what we're able to do when we work together. Now more than ever, people of faith need to be grounded in God's call to love and affirm young people in what God created them to be. If God created them to be a male, they are a male. If he created them to be female, that's what he created them to be. He didn't create you to be a broadcaster. He didn't create you to be a surgeon, a truck driver. That you do decide with your life. But you're created of one of two genders. Believe the science. Remember, follow the science we were told during COVID. You can't deny that science. Two genders. Those who doubt me, again, I dare you to go out and try to milk a bull. See what happens then. But we've got those inside the clergy and church groups that are trying to, it's one thing to say, let's show love, not hate, to those we disagree with. And I'm all about that. But when you hold a church service and you basically are praying for divine diversity, when divine diversity means we're willing to accept multiple genders, if that was the intent, I'm against that. I want you to hear a clip from the Cathedral of Hope Protestant Church in Dallas. Now, they've got a leader giving them a recitation, and then they respond. Now, it's hard to hear a little bit because someone was getting it on their phone at the time, but I think you'll be able to hear clearly enough what's going on.
Drag queens are often targets of hate and violence, but we know that they are powerful and resilient people who show us what it means to be truly authentic and expressive.
Beyond their strength, we are blessed to be allies in the drag community, recognizing their whole humanity and their incredible contributions to our world. We embrace
okay, so it's even worse than I thought. I don't like putting on bad audio, but let me translate again for you very quickly. The leader was saying, drag queens are often hated, and we are here to bring them love and recognize that they are also made in the loving image of God, no matter who they are, how they dress, express themselves, and that they're often targets of hate and violence. We shouldn't do that. Unison, the churchgoers, were saying, we honor their strength, the strength of drag queens, and pledge to be allies to the drag community, recognizing their full humanity and their incredible contributions to the world. What incredible contributions have drag queens made? Can anyone tell me a contribution drag queens have made to the world? Oh, I don't know, maybe new eyeliners, new eyelashes, is that it? Give me a break. So Bidenomics is getting ready to bite the Biden administration in the butt, because if you go to buy your gasoline, if you go to get ready to pay anything at your store, you're going to see that. Now, I want you to listen to one response from John Carney, who's a Breitbart economic advisor, as to how Biden created this mess.
I think oil is definitely going to reach $100 a barrel, and I don't see a reason why it's going to come down. The Biden administration really messed up by releasing so much from the strategic reserves. Right now, they have nothing left. They fired all the bullets, more or less. And so there's not a source of oil that can be released into the market to bring down prices. The Saudis and the Russians want oil up near $100, and that's where it's going to go. Well, I do think that the energy production has a lot to do with it. Right now, the U.S. is actually producing a lot of energy. We could be producing a lot more. But the U.K., frankly, has intentionally crippled itself, basically took a hammer to its own knee, and it cannot produce enough energy. It doesn't have to be dependent. It especially doesn't have to be dependent on Russia. That was a colossal policy failure. We make so much liquefied natural gas in the U.S., we actually could be the supplier to the UK, to all of Europe. We should cement that relationship and make sure that this dependency on Russia never comes back.
We should make sure of that, but we're not, because we got the Biden administration shutting down oil and gas leases on Indian reservations. Now, the Indians don't really want that to happen. They're making money, royalties off that oil and gas. There might be some that say, yeah, we don't want you drilling on our land. But most of them say, we want the money. But he's bowing again to the left, worshiping at the green altar again. Two things you heard again from John Carney, the Breitbart economic news editor, pointing out that, one, we have enough to help ourselves, much less the rest of the world. And we had a lot in our strategic reserve. We don't anymore. Why? Because Biden drew down out of it. When Trump left office, we had topped off our oil reserves at 714 million barrels. We'd had it one time at the most 726 million back in 2000. And at last check, we were below 400 million barrels. That is there in our strategic reserve for a strategic situation. Sometimes hurricanes come in, they got to shut off refineries and oil wells out on the coast of the Gulf, wherever. It takes time to get them back online. And so what we're doing now is buying it from Argentina, a communist nation, and it's a tar-like dirty oil, but we don't want to dirty our country, but we're willing to import it and put oil and gas workers in this country out of jobs. Even CNN had to admit in one of its reports just how bad it's getting, and it falls on the White House.
They are worried about this, Aaron. Publicly, officials talk up the data that excludes groceries and gas prices, saying that it's volatile, it's unpredictable. But privately, they acknowledge that those are the two components where consumers and voters feel the most regular and sustained financial pain, and to which President Biden's favorability fortunes are most closely tied. For now, I'm told they're going to take a wait-and-see approach to see if now that the economy is coming off of the peak travel and air conditioning season, whether that alone allows prices to come down. But Aaron, as you know, the cruelest irony about all of this is that unless Saudi Arabia and Russia decide to start pumping more oil all of a sudden, or the economy goes into a recession, there's not really going to be a dramatic impact.
No, and when it comes to inflation numbers, they do often take out core things such as oil and gas that you might need for your house or home, and they take out groceries, and then they give you an inflation number. Well, hell, you take those out, I mean, there goes a big issue with inflation. And Biden can claim, oh, we're doing great, it's looking good, and he can put KJP out in front of the White House press corps, it's all working. Riddle me this. Riddle me this. When do you think is the last time Biden had to buy gas and put in a car? What about KJP? How about the other White House staff members, the cabinet members? Well, they have to eat, Larry. Yeah, they are, but somebody's buying it. They may or may not know the price of bread. But this is where we are because, as we know, one of the first things Biden did when he got in was kill the Keystone Pipeline. And there went thousands of jobs, and of course, multi-millions of dollars that would have been available for those along the route of the Keystone Pipeline. Hotels, restaurants, repair shops that would have made additional money with all the traffic coming through. And now he wants to shut down oil and gas leases elsewhere across New Mexico, Indian reservations, as if I'm doing a good thing for the people. He's not. Coming up, how many times have you been told fossil fuels will lead to climate change to destroy Earth and humanity? Well, get ready for a fact check on that issue. Lock and load, ready, on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
Market Square, she's standing in her underwear, looking down from a hotel room, and that ball will be coming soon. Oh my my, oh hell yes, you got to put on that party dress. It was too cold to cry when I woke up alone. I hit my last number, I walked to the road. Let's dance with Mary Jane, one more time to kill the pain.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Right now, many people who are below the age of 30 here in America are under this impression that the world is going to end in just a few short years. And the reason that they have this impression is not a mystery. For instance, if you happen to be in New York City and you take a casual stroll down Union Square, you'll come across a massive doomsday clock, which is quite literally counting down, second by second, the time that we have left before the supposed effects of global warming become irreversible. That clock, by the way, was set up right around the same time that several lawmakers began to float the idea publicly that we only have 12 years left before the world ends.
Only 12 years left before the world ends. They've had to reset the clock several times, and we're going to break down several episodes of where we have been told by Al Gore and Greta Thunberg that, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, the sky's falling. How many times can you cry wolf before anyone pays attention and then says, finally, we're tired of your jokes? That was part of a piece that appeared as a video from Epic. Epic, I also often quote, but it also was sent to me by my boots-on-the-ground correspondent in Chicago, Andrew. I thank him for it. It appeared inside a piece from The Pipeline. Now, The Pipeline is dedicated to disposing the nonsense movement about that we're going to destroy our world if we continue using fossil fuels. So they're big on fossil fuels. I want you to understand the source. I never try to hide the source and give you balance on it. The column was written by Michael Walsh for The Pipeline, titled The First Time Tragedy, Second Time Farce. Now, what you were listening then was just a piece of video from Epic that deals with a similar thing. But the actual column written by Michael Walsh said, girl children and their Pied Pipers took to the streets of Manhattan over the weekend, demanding an end to all traditional sources of energy and the immediate installation of the net-zero carbon-free, powered by unicorn farts, utopian future. They believe they're old because, well, just because. He said they had a march to end fossil fuels, an orchestrated kickoff to Climate Week, convened to save the planet. They had usual suspects pointing out that AOC was there, Susan Sarandon, Ethan Hawke, Kevin Bacon, all who have time on their hands since they're, he points out, on strike from acting in any films at this time. He said that includes writers, which includes me. But Ocasio had told everyone around there, we have people all across the street showing up. Around the world, they're showing up in streets demanding that we stop doing what's killing us. Now, that's part of the written column. But I want to go back to part of the Epic broadcast as they were taking apart some of the issues that have been laid out on, quote, climate change. Now, yes, we're going to have climate change. We're going to have different seasons. We all know that. But what they want you to believe, that all of this is part of the final destruction of our nation, because it's going to lead to death for all of us. Here's another example.
Here's, for instance, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez speaking about this very issue back in the year 2019.
Millennials and people and, you know, Gen Z and all these folks that come after us are looking up and we're like, the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. And your biggest issue is, your biggest issue is, how are we going to pay for it?
And wouldn't you know it, just a few short months after she made that statement, the clock in Union Square, which used to just be a normal clock, was changed to instead be a doomsday clock. Now, whether the countdown is actually true or not, you can make up your own mind.
Yeah, you make up your own mind. I'm not going to tell you, and he's not telling you from Epic News how what you should think of it. He's just giving you the facts of how it changed simply because AOC said, it's coming. So the countdown clock became a doomsday clock. And then, of course, you have to look at how many times you've been told the earth is going to go down because of fossil fuels. Remember in the beginning, some of you might remember this, some of you might think, oh, you're making this up. In the beginning, they were telling us we're going to freeze to death, that we're going to have a new ice age. Let's remember that time.
Exactly these types of bold predictions about specific dates when something should happen but winds up not coming true, which has pretty much undermined the credibility of so-called climate experts, at least in the eyes of most of the public. And so while the doomsday clock over in Union Square continues to tick, tick, tick away, let's take a short journey through time and look at the 33 climate predictions which turned out to be wrong. Now, let's begin our journey in October of 1958. That was when the New York Times published an article in which they wrote this, quote, some scientists estimate that the polar ice pack is 40% thinner and 12% less in area than it was a half century ago, and that even within the lifetime of our children, the Arctic Ocean may open, enabling ships to sail over the North Pole. At the time, the article mentioned, the Arctic ice sheet was about 7 feet thick, which was again in 1958. And today, when we look at today's data, it's still about 7 feet thick. Then we can fast forward to November of 1967, and here's what the Salt Lake City Tribune reported on the issue of the coming famine. Quote, it is already too late for the world to avoid a long period of famine. Now, this article was citing the work of Mr. Paul Ehrlich, who was a Stanford University biologist, and his prediction was that by the year 1975, there will be global famines due to overpopulation. According to this report, he went so far as to propose lacing both the food supply as well as the water drinking supplies here in America with sterilization chemicals in order to cut down on the growing population. And by the way, this worry of too many people was on top of another worry at this particular time, the coming ice age. For instance, in April of 1970, here is what the Boston Globe reported. Quote, scientists predict a new ice age by the 21st century. Citing a pollution expert named James Lodge, the Boston Globe continued by writing this. Quote, air pollution may obliterate the sun and cause a new ice age in the first third of the new century.
That was their prediction from the experts, the climate experts. So their credibility, obviously, a question. We're going to have an ice age. They were predicting it back in 1958, and by the time we got to the new century, it would be a frozen over planet. But then they started pointing out, well, you know, it may not be an ice age. It may be that we're dying because everything is melting and we have nothing.
Then 5 months later, in June of 1974, a story in Time magazine, well, it asked a very similar question. Quote, another ice age? Telltale signs are everywhere, from the unexpected persistence and thickness of pack ice in the waters around Iceland to the southward migration of a warmth-loving creature like the armadillo from the Midwest. And this trend of predicting a coming ice age continued for the next 4 years. For instance, in January of 1978, here is what was written in the New York Times. Quote, an international team of specialists has concluded from 8 indexes of climate that there is no end in sight to the cooling trend of the last 30 years, at least in the Northern Hemisphere. However, it appears that an end to the trend was in sight, because just a year later, that very same newspaper, meaning the New York Times, was reporting the exact opposite. Here's one of their stories from February of 1979, which is again a year from the previous one we just read. Quote, there is a real possibility that some people now in their infancy will live to a time when the ice at the North Pole will have melted, a change that would cause swift and perhaps catastrophic changes in climate.
So which is it? Well, one year it was an ice age, and next year it may be too hot to live here. And then, of course, Epic can't avoid bringing in Al Gore, who is an expert.
For another 2 years, and in January of 2006, the Associated Press, while paraphrasing Al Gore, they wrote this, quote, "Unless drastic measures to reduce greenhouse gases are taken within the next 10 years, the world will reach a point of no return." Then the following year, in November of 2007, the New York Times quoted the head of the United Nations climate panel, who said this, quote, "This year was the defining moment of the climate change fight. If there is no action before 2012, that's too late." In that same month, Canada's CanWest News Service, while paraphrasing another polar researcher, they wrote this, quote, "The Arctic Ocean could be free of ice in the summer as soon as 2010 or 2015, something that hasn't happened in more than a million years." And this Arctic Ocean without ice prediction began to gain traction. For instance, the next month, in December of 2007, here was a story in the Associated Press citing a NASA scientist, quote, "Arctic sea ice gone in summer within 5 years? At this rate, the Arctic Ocean could be nearly ice-free at the end of summer by 2012.
Well, we have gone past 2012. It's not. But then there are more false, fake predictions.
February of 2018, and this was when a Forbes article citing a Harvard University professor wrote this, quote, "The chance that there will be any permanent ice left in the Arctic after the year 2022 is essentially zero." For your reference, even though the odds were against it, at this very moment, there's about 5.6 million square miles of Arctic sea ice. Then in June of 2018, Ms. Greta Thunberg, the young climate activist, she shared a story on Twitter which was titled this, quote, "Top climate scientist says humans will go extinct if we don't fix climate change by 2023. To which Greta added this, quote, "A top climate scientist is warning that climate change will wipe out all of humanity unless we stop using fossil fuels over the next 5 years." Now, for some odd reason, Greta decided to delete that particular tweet earlier this year. And she was not the only one that had to delete her earlier prediction. That's because in January of 2020, Glacier National Park had to remove one of their signs because that sign claimed that all the glaciers would be melted away by the year 2020, which would be an awkward thing to read in the year 2020 when you can still see the glacier in the background.
It's right there. It's there. A figment of my imagination. But they continue to push this and claim it's science, and it keeps flipping on its head. Joe Biden just the other day talking about, "We hold the power of the people, the power of the people to win." He's talking to a 17-year-old at a group at Fridays for Future. He said, "If you want to win in 2024, if you do not want the blood of my generation to be on your hands, end fossil fuels." And then he's going to tell the UAW workers, "I'm with you." No, he's not. He's stabbing them in the back, trying to kill their jobs. Coming up, Hollywood actor says the Democrat Party is full of BS and they're playing you. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com. AllenOutdoorSTL.com or call 314-647-4800. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There's 1,000 miles in 18 hours. I got a double drive down southbound 35. The hammer down, Detroit made, 525, pushing my ass right down that line. that smell of burning diesel fuel just tells me that I'm back out on the road.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I got something special I want to share with you before we wrap up this hour. Quentin brought my attention to it. We were discussing earlier in this hour about how we have been basically preached to at the UN by the Iranian leader about gender. The Quran basically stating there are two genders, man and woman. Well, that's contrary to the libs and woke culture that permeate our nation. They do not dare do that in Sharia countries. They will be killed on the spot. But the thing that Quentin sent me, it's humorous, and yet it's going to be very accurate when it comes to conversations you might be having with your kids, because they're being indoctrinated constantly one way or the other. I want to go back to a couple things on this climate change destroying us because of fossil fuels, and the Earth's going to end by this date. Well, we better change it. We're going to have an ice age. No, we're not going to have an ice age. We're going to be too hot. Well, then what is it going to go next? Whatever works to make money. That's what it comes down to. Whatever they can do to make money, that's where Al Gore made a lot of money, an inconvenient truth. It's an inconvenient lie, or maybe I should say a convenient lie, but he made a lot of money off it. Still does. John Kerry going all around the world, not in his private jet, he'll remind you, but my wife actually owns it, as if that explains the carbon footprint left by her private jet is not my responsibility. Give me a break. But I want to go back to, in addition to the remarks you were hearing from Epic News and their broadcast about how many times the predictions have been there. He said, let me go through 33 of them, but we didn't have time for all 33, but I grabbed you some highlights. But back to the article that had that attached to it. Again, it's written in the pipeline. This is a dedicated to opposing destruction of our fossil fuel industry. So understand where they're coming from. And the writer, Michael Walsh, is talking about the first time tragedy, second time forest, talking about how many times we've been told to expect the end of the world and it doesn't happen because of fossil fuel. I quoted you what Biden had told a 17-year-old the other day. If you do not want the blood of my generation to be on your hands and fossil fuels, you'll want to vote for me in 2024. Well, the article of that same piece, I want to add a few more notes. Again, this is written by Michael Walsh. He said it's climate alarmists and apocalypsists are still batting zero. It's a small comfort that this too shall pass. AstroTurf movements like the climate emergency can only thrive, this is a key point here, can only thrive in a world where nothing else seriously threatens. And yet, let me stop it right there. Biden himself just the other day said the greatest threat to humanity is climate change, not nuclear war, climate change. If we get 1 degree warmer, we're all dead. But the article continues, never underestimate the left's appetite for victimhood, even if they have to invent an imaginary threat in order to feel the moral superiority that in their world comes with being a prey instead of a predator. Then talks about the boy who cried wolf, and of course, no one listened. He said, gas and oil will not disappear. The internal combustion engine will not be replaced by electric cars. Space exploration will not be conducted via, what am I getting? I can't tell the way it's printed out here. He said, but they'll find something else equally fanciful to complain about. In other words, they're going to complain and bitch all the time and blame you for it if you're on the other side. And to that extent, a lot of them do consider that you were part of the problem. Actor John Cusack, 57 years of age, he has not been a big supporter of Donald Trump. He has, in fact, been so outspoken that it's almost vile on some of the things he remarks. He's obviously called for the impeachment of Trump over the alleged mishandling of the COVID-19 pandemic. And he said, we need strikes. We need to remove Trump from power to save lives. Impeach him again. That's what he tweeted at that time. Even compared him to Putin and Adolf Hitler. And in most recently, had tweeted that he's mentally ill, virus-spreading, child-abducting Nazi rapist. That's how John Cusack described Trump. I'm giving you that background because I want you to hear how he also explains to the left how you guys are the butt of a joke. He said to the Democrat Party elite, you are full of snow, sleet, what do you think it meant? Anyway, he blasted them on social media for selling out the working class for decades. In his words, they played a major part in creating the precise conditions for fascism to flourish. Trump is not about fascism. The left is because they want to ban and shut things down and block free speech. That's fascism. And he adds, Obama corporate Democrats are to the right of Richard Nixon on domestic policy. Don't believe me? Look it up. He said, Dems have sold out the working class for decades. And this kind of bought and paid for betrayal of principles, fairness, historical precedent, any sense of moral or intellectual honesty, the kind of brutal, selfish, horrific actions only one does because they can get away with it. He also had argued that the party's elite has planted fertile ground for Trump to win. He said, all your Yale and Harvard buddies will tell you how great and smart you are, and they're all in bed with the same big money power players. He said, this is kind of staggering, amoral BS. Is that one reason? He said, yes, but there are many others. He said, imagine the attitude that some Democrats want to outlaw federal wealth taxes, supposedly. Of course they don't, but they just make noise that they want to punish those who have a lot of wealth, as long as you're not punishing them. He said, imagine what FDR would say about such a proposed law. Don't worry, fellas. The Democrats will save the 0.00000001% from paying tax. He said the hubris to do this is staggering. It is a sham and an insult to everyone's basic intelligence. The contempt for people to even attempt this, unbelievable. He also accused Obama's hope and change slogan, just another branded hustle. He went after Trump, he went after Obama, he went after Democrats. But there's a lot to be said in there that's factual. And, of course, depending on your party affiliation, you may disagree what he had to say about the Democrats. But if you look at history, you can't deny it. How many times they tell you, we're going to make things better. And all these Democrat-controlled cities and everything, they're not any better. They come around and round everybody up for every time there's a vote. And then they take them back to the urban plantation to exist the best they can until the next vote. All right, let me turn the corner for you, and let's take a look at John Fetterman from a distance. So you have Fetterman, Pennsylvania senator. You guys up in Pennsylvania who elected him, I hope you're happy. He's in for 6 years unless something befalls him, and I don't wish anyone ill. But, of course, his new anti-decorum work form has now been endorsed by Chuck Schumer. And out of the 50 senators, something like 40 plus, that would include Democrats, disagree with Schumer saying, we're no longer going to enforce any kind of dress code. Whatever is fine. Fetterman goes around wearing a hoodie on the floor of the Senate and in shorts. Listen, I know in the past, when it came to church, my parents would always dress me in, you know, a little tie and a suit and everything. And then it became more and more casual, and churches tend to get more casual now. Some aren't. But if you go to the opera, you're certainly going to have a certain dress code they expect you to have. Ironically, let me point out, for those of you in the St. Louis area, there's a bar in what is called the Soulard area, if you're not familiar with it, that used to allow women to wear nothing but body paint. Oh, they got a lot of customers. They got customers. But then they have now issued a dress code. A dress code. The same place they allowed basically naked women with paint on their bodies. Now it's a dress code. No hoodies, no baggy pants, so forth, so on. And some are claiming, that's racism. It's racism. I don't think they ever say anything about racism or even sexism when they were allowing women to paint their bodies, or if they wanted to be a bartender, they basically had to be fully exposed from the waist up, at least. But they could wear body paint. Talk about fitting tightly into something. So Chuck Schumer today, or the other day, decided, I'm going to green light Fetterman, what he wants to do. There's a guy that is being quoted here as, he's really an expert on menswear, and he said, if you're familiar with Fetterman's history, he's just got out of a lot of clinical depression. He was in a facility. He's come out publicly and talked about it. Yes, that's true. He said, in one sense, Fetterman is authentic if you believe his story. However, it's a question of how much of it is authentic. He's obviously a person who can afford more than a hoodie and basketball shorts. If you know Fetterman's history, it just seems odd. He's portraying himself just as an average Joe, and it feels dishonest. That's his opinion. I think maybe he nailed something there. He said, when you first look at Fetterman, let's say you know nothing about him. You may just think he was a truck driver turned U.S. senator or former handyman or a felon who just got his act together. In Fetterman's own words to the Philadelphia Inquirer, he said, I had a cushy upbringing, suburban upbringing, MBA, University of Connecticut, master's at Harvard. He said, I wanted to know if the experts assume what I've assumed, that I'm not smart. Well, he said, to that extent, this guy says, Fetterman acts like an appropriate working class culture. He wants what everybody think that's what he is, but he's nowhere near that. He's cynically appropriating clothing that works and indicates a working class stereotype, doing it intentionally as a cynical move to be seen as something he's not. It's a costume. Speaking of that, I think some in the Senate, especially the far, far libs, maybe they should consider, why don't we come out and say we're dogs and start wearing doggy costumes to the Senate? Why not? Or like we had a story on the other day, some of them get surgery and have their ears pointed to look like an elf or their chin narrowed to look like diamond-shaped and poses elves on the Senate floor. Why not? We're not that far from being there. You do know that. You get some of these Looney Tunes that are now serving in our government as appointed by the Biden administration who might be a male dressing like a woman or is a transgender serving in our health services department. They're that close to getting an election into the Senate, and then they can wear that stuff on the Senate floor or the House. Right, we were talking earlier about how the UN, at the UN, the Iranian president almost was lecturing our nation on values. Talking about the Quran and how it sees children as a gift from God to be taken care of, and how it sees men and women are different. In other words, you can't be a guy and claim that you want to play in women's sports, not in Sharia countries or in most Muslim countries, period, if they don't strictly enforce Sharia. There are different levels of how they enforce or not, just like every religion. I mean, I'm raised Baptist, so I can say that. In Texas, you're born in Texas, it's pre-stamped Baptist on your birth certificate. But you may eventually change to some other religion. But if you go in through a lot of towns in the South, you're going to find a first, second, and third, and maybe even a fourth Baptist church. And it's not because they have so many Baptists, they have that many churches. No, it's because they each have a different philosophical view of something, one thing or another. And it's enough to cause a division. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying the reality is. But there is no question that there are two genders. So Quentin said, I saw this involving something that showed up on a Facebook. Actual conversation about gender, someone wrote with my four-year-old at dinner. The kid says, Daddy, I want to be a girl. Dad, but you're a boy, bud. Why am I a boy? I want to be a girl. Because God made you a boy. Why did God make me a boy? Because he knows better than all of us and knew you would make the best boy ever. But why can't I be a girl? Now, where do you think the kid has learned all this? And he holds up a plate. Dad said, what is this? A kid says, a plate. Dad asks him, is it a cup? The kid says, no. What would happen if I tried to make it a cup? The kid just stares at him blankly. Dad pours water onto the plate. There you go, buddy. Drink your water. And of course, water's pouring everywhere off the plate. The kid starts crying hysterically. Daddy, why did you do that? That's not right. Exactly, buddy. A cup is a cup. A plate is a plate. A cup has one purpose. So does a plate. A boy is a boy. A girl is a girl. A boy is not a girl. The kid began to repeat. A cup is a cup. A plate is a plate. A boy is a boy. And a girl is a girl. And Dad said, that's exactly right, bud. I love it. Elementary, and yet very direct on a child's level. Thank you as always for listening. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.